A reading from the book of Sirach. God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sins and preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. He stores up riches who reveres his mother. Whoever honors his father is gladdened by children, and when he prays, is heard. Whoever reveres his father will live a long life. He who obeys his father brings comfort to his mother. My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. Even if his mind fail, be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of his life. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten. Firmly planted against the debt of your sins, a house raised in justice to you. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these, put on love. That is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, so they may not become discouraged. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Many of you may know that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has declared this liturgical year in which we now find ourselves the year of Saint Joseph. This special year began on December the 8th, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, just a few weeks ago, and it will continue until December the 8th of 2021. The timing of this is because December the 8th, 2020, marked the 150th anniversary of St. Joseph being named the patron of the Universal Church by Pope Pius IX in 1870. I wanted to take this opportunity on this feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to talk about St. Joseph as we begin this year of learning more about him, of growing in devotion to him as a spiritual father, and of following his example of doing God's will in our lives. Pope Francis wrote an apostolic letter to all the faithful in the church, establishing this year of St. Joseph, which he entitled Patris Cordae, meaning with a father's heart. It is a beautiful little document in which our Holy Father offers some personal reflections about the husband of Mary and the earthly father of Jesus, and his importance to all of us in the church, and in a special way to Christian fathers. Some of what Pope Francis had to say relates to the readings that we have from the scriptures today. Our first reading is from the book of Sirach. It is part of the Old Testament's wisdom literature, in which God reveals his timeless truths about human life, about relationships, and about right living in the eyes of our Creator and Father in heaven. As we heard, the passage emphasizes over and over honoring our fathers and being blessed by God for doing so. The passage anticipates, centuries before the birth of Christ, that the Son of God himself would benefit from that unique formative relationship of a father to his son or daughter. Pope Francis writes in Patris Cordae, "Fathers are not born, but made. A man does not become a father simply by bringing a child into the world, but by taking up the responsibility to care for that child. Whenever a man accepts responsibility for the life of another, in some way he becomes a father to that person." Saint Joseph models this truth exceptionally well, since he was not the biological father of Jesus, but accepted fully the responsibility of caring for him and teaching him all about this world. Joseph never made himself the center of things, but focused instead on the lives of his wife and child, and so put himself at the service of God's whole plan for the salvation of the world. Our second reading today, from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, could be said to describe the characteristics of St. Joseph as a husband and father, who serves as an example for all Christian husbands and fathers. St. Paul says, as we heard, "Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another." Though a father is called to be the head of a household and to exercise a certain authority for the good of his family, we know he is to do so with gentleness and patience, as well as humility. I remember my own father's gentleness with me and my brothers, even when we needed to be disciplined, and that gentleness fostered not only respect, but love. I'm also reminded of a well-known saying from St. Francis de Sales that I've hung on to for many years. He said, "Nothing is so strong as gentleness, and nothing so gentle as real strength." Now, one of the most insightful parts of Patris Cordae is when Pope Francis describes St. Joseph as a creatively courageous father. He says, "As we read the infancy narratives, we may wonder why God did not act in a more direct and clear way. Yet God acts through events and people. Joseph was the man chosen by God to guide the beginnings of the history of redemption. He was the true miracle by which God saves the child and his mother. God acted by trusting in Joseph's creative courage." It really is true that God acts through people to bring his plans to fruition. That is part of our theology of the Incarnation. In the case of St. Joseph, when he arrived in Bethlehem and found no lodging where Mary could give birth to Jesus, he persisted until he found something. And the stable that he did find was perfectly fitting for the arrival of the one who would give his life in humble service to all. When it was discovered that the child was in imminent danger from King Herod and the Holy Family had to flee to Egypt, Joseph didn't complain about his circumstances. He did what had to be done to keep his family safe and provide for them as God had charged him to do. Again, Pope Francis says in Patris Cordae, "God always finds a way to save us, provided we show the same creative courage as the carpenter at Nazareth, who was able to turn a problem into a possibility by trusting always in divine providence. If at times God seems not to help us, surely this does not mean that we have been abandoned, but instead are being trusted to plan, to be creative, and to find solutions ourselves." We are certainly in a time and under circumstances that require us to find solutions, to trust in God's divine providence, and to offer our lives as gifts of love for our family members and our community. This year of St. Joseph couldn't have come at a better time, I think, and I believe the Holy Spirit was guiding Pope Francis to proclaim this year, and he's guiding us to learn from St. Joseph and to grow in grace throughout this year by his intercession. Patris Cordae ends with a prayer to St. Joseph that I'd like to end with this evening. "Hail, guardian of the Redeemer, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To you God entrusted his only Son. In you Mary placed her trust. With you Christ became man. Blessed Joseph, to us too, show yourself a father and guide us in the path of life. Obtain for us grace, mercy, and courage, and defend us from every evil. Amen." St. Joseph, pray for us.